The scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And we all understand that. We have all experienced to one degree or another hope deferred. Lots of hopes deferred over the last 18 months. Graduations, weddings, parties, vacations, some deferred indefinitely, some deferred for a period of time. Most grievously, death has come. We've experienced loss in our own congregation. There are mothers who are grieving, and fathers. In such disappointment, we may be tempted to blame God. We wonder, where is he? Think of Martha and Mary after the death of their brother. When Jesus comes to the town, they meet him and say, "Lord, if you had have been here, our brother would not have died." They're not accusing necessarily, but there is something implied in that. Jesus, you should have been here. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Of course, Jesus had something far more glorious in mind. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. So even in our own circumstance, Jesus has something more glorious in mind. So faith sees through the immediate circumstance, as painful as that may be. We don't dismiss grief. We don't dismiss the anguish of life here and the loss now that we experience. The cross was real. It would have had splinters. That's our life. And yet faith sees through that. And it turns the immediate disappointment and grief into a cause to long for the eternal. In some ways, even it deepens that longing. And this is the longing in Psalm 84. Because the singer aches for God. He longs for the fellowship of the Lord and his presence. And his longing encourages us and guides us in developing the same desire. In a few minutes, we'll sing Psalm 84, but first let me read it to you. We'll go through it so we might sing with more knowledge. This is what the psalmist writes. "How beloved is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Psalm 84 depicts the psalmist in some measure of distress because he's apart from what he desires most. He longs to be in the house of God, but he isn't. So Psalm 84 echoes Psalm 42, 43, which we sang earlier. It's the same author. It comes from the sons of Korah. May have been a similar circumstance. And perhaps after all of the disruptions of COVID, we can appreciate this longing a little more. We've come through a period of exile when many, and still around the world today, many are not gathering publicly in worship. And people are longing for that. Many of you spent much of the last year in your living rooms, participating via computer or through your television screen. There were 8 of us here. The singing didn't sound like it does today. And we missed that. We forewent the Lord's Supper for a number of months. And we missed that. And we're still not back to eating regularly together. And we missed that. We long for that. And the poet here longs for God. He faints for God. Our translation says, "How lovely is your dwelling place." It's literally how beloved or well-loved. I think reading this in the past and singing it, I always thought, well, it looks pretty. They're lovely. That's not what he's saying. He longs for this because he loves it. It's what he deeply desires. He's literally lovesick for where God is. He yearns for these tabernacle precincts. He's weak from longing. His whole body is affected. With his body and his soul, he cries out to God. Again, our translation here says, "Sing for joy." That doesn't seem to be the gist of the verb here. It's used that way elsewhere, but in Lamentations chapter 2, we read this, "Arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street." So it's cry out in the night. Here's the psalmist crying out to God. He's not singing for joy because he's not there. Why would he sing for joy? He is isolated, exiled, apart from where he longs to be. Have you ever been separated from your best friend for some extended period of time? Or from the one that you love and you wonder, when will I see that person again? That's the sense here. The psalmist doesn't know, when will I get there? When will I be able to experience this? I'm longing for it. Do we long for the worship of God like this? Do you long for the fellowship of God's people? Can we honestly affirm verses 1 and 2 that our soul longs and faints for the Lord? The psalmist here is even envious of the birds. They seem to have free access to the temple or to the tabernacle precincts. He wants what they have. I don't know, have you ever envied the birds? The freedom they have to go wherever, to soar. He's not envying that. He's envying the fact that they have access to something he doesn't. They can fly in and around the temple and the tabernacle, and he can't. He's envious of the Levites. Blessed are those who reside, who dwell, who remain in your house. By virtue of their calling, the Levites had access day and night. They served the Lord, and he says, oh, to have that. He's almost anticipating Luke chapter 2, where we read of the prophetess Anna. She was advanced in years. She'd lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. And we're told she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Is that our heart's posture? It's the posture of the psalmist here. I would love to do that, to be free to do that, to be near to do that. These Levites are blessed. What a privilege they had. And yet, because of the work of Jesus Christ, we have something better. That was our call to worship from Hebrews chapter 12. We have something better. We've not come to a physical temple, but in the Spirit, we come to a spiritual temple, the true Mount Zion. Because the temple or the tabernacle was not the essence nor the true desire. The psalmist really longs for the one who dwells there. And in the Old Testament, the temple, the tabernacle, was the place where God met his people. Well, we no longer meet him in a place, but we meet him in a person. The true temple. In the Spirit of God, we meet God in the person of Jesus. And he has opened the way for everyone to enjoy this intimate fellowship with the Father. It's not limited to the Levites. Think about the Old Covenant. Only the high priest once a year could go into that inner precinct, that Holy of Holies. And only the priests could go into the holy place. There was a separation. And if you're not Jewish, you can't even get past the first gate. And now, because of Jesus, we have access. The very temple in heaven itself. Indeed, blessed are the ones whose hearts are set on the Lord, whose strength is the Lord, in whose heart are these highways to Zion. This is to suggest that we have a longing and a desire to be where the Lord is, to go up to Zion, who have a heart for God. Jeremiah has an indictment. Jeremiah 18, my people have forgotten me. They make offerings to false gods. They made them stumble in their ways in the ancient roads and to walk into side roads, not the highway. In Pilgrim's Progress, the hero Christian often gets into trouble when he gets off the highway. Bypass Meadow looks so inviting. And he ends up where? Here's the quiz. What's that? That's right. Doubting Castle and a prisoner of giant despair. What are the pathways in your heart today? Are they the highways to Zion? Or are they the byways to destruction? See, the pilgrim's heart keeps the desired destination in mind. The pilgrim always keeps his affections on the desired destination. The sojourner doesn't become enamored or bewitched or captivated by the present location. Because the sojourner, the pilgrim, is not at home. Vicki and I were on vacation a couple weeks ago. The lower tier of New York is beautiful, but we weren't at home. We didn't settle down in southern New York, though there was plenty of job opportunities available. Everywhere we went, help wanted signs. We might have thought, this isn't where we're from. Not at home. My friends aren't here. Well, we had some friends there, but not you all. But the world so often looks attractive. But no matter how beautiful the world may look, it cannot compare to the glory yet to come. Keep looking to the unseen. Remind yourself you're not yet at home. Remind others of your true home. Don't settle here. Don't get captivated by here. We are not yet at home. And faith enables that perseverance. Faith even allows us to find blessing amid tribulation. The psalmist says here that these pilgrims to Zion go through the valley of Baca. Now that may be a specific place. There is actually in Lebanon the Baca Valley. It may be that place. Or it may be a spiritual state, because Baca means tears. It may be through a valley of tears through which we travel. And we know those tears. But even in the valley of affliction, faith turns grief into blessing and refreshment. And so Isaiah says, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we read earlier from 2 Corinthians 4, he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Faith hangs on to those promises even in the valley of tears. So we listen to one another. We listen to the testimony of other pilgrims who have found renewal along the way. We grieve with those who grieve. But when we have been comforted in our grief, we are then able to comfort others in their grief with the same comfort that we received. That's how the body functions. We are on pilgrimage together. We are sojourners together. And so we tell our stories and we listen to those for whom God has given a beautiful headdress for ashes. We know the ashes, but do you know the beautiful headdress? Because God gives the oil of gladness for mourning and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the hope of God Himself. So take comfort. In faith, persevere. From strength to strength, even though sometimes it might feel like I'm going from weakness to further weakness. The Spirit of God will enable us to move from strength to strength. Because though tears last the night, joy comes with the morning. And the night is almost gone. The dawn is almost here. Do you long for it? Do you long for it? I do. The psalmist here not only is concerned for himself. Verse 9, behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. He desires the blessing of God on the king. And by implication on the broader community represented and governed by this king. Because in the blessing of the king, his domain and dominion is also blessed. It's one reason why we pray for all those in authority. That we might live a quiet life. But he longs for this. Lord, look on his face. And here's where the history might start to dovetail with perhaps Psalm 42. Is this a reference to a time when David was exiled from Jerusalem? And maybe the psalmist here is with David during the uprising of Absalom. David was forced to flee. Maybe the singer is with David and they don't know what's going to happen. So, Lord, look on your king, restore him. And he's thinking back and he reiterates his desire. A day at the sanctuary is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He said, I'd rather stand in the door of the temple that enjoy all the luxuries of wickedness. We hear in this the faith of Moses. Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. This is what Paul says in Philippians 3, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is Psalm 84. That longing, a that desire. This is the faith of those who have renounced the world for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ. They give up the temporary for the eternal. Is this your perspective today? Is this your longing? Because the Lord Himself is our sun and shield. He's the one who gives light and warmth and joy. He protects. Anything the world offers here is so uncertain and so unstable. But He is all. He offers favor and honor, grace and glory. He provides every good thing. And He's generous to His people, those who love Him and walk by faith. Are you in relationship with Him today? Do you know this Lord and Savior? Because all of this comes through the true anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world to dwell with us for a time, that we might dwell with Him. He became incarnate so that He might go to the cross and to the grave and be raised and then taken into heaven in order to prepare for us an eternal home. He has gone through the agony of the valley of tears, that cursed death of the cross, so we might be blessed. He sings this psalm, and we join Him. He became weak so that we might go from strength to strength. Because in Him there is strength. So the psalm pronounces three beatitudes. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Verse 12, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Are you blessed today? Are those beatitudes true of you? If not, come to Jesus. He says, come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Psalm 84 gives voice to the pilgrim's heart. The pilgrim is not at home, longing for home. And this psalm reminds us of the true object of our affections. It encourages us to cultivate such a heart for God. But maybe this isn't your desire today. Maybe you are enamored by the world. At the end, you'll find nothing but pain and agony and loss. So as we sing Psalm 84, sing it to yourself. Psalm 42, the singer is actually addressing himself. Well, it may be today that as we sing 84, you may need to ask the Spirit, make this true of me. I repent of putting other things before you. Be my one heart's desire. And let us together encourage one another to fix our eyes and our hearts on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we thank you for Psalm 84. It guides us in the development and the cultivation of a heart for you. Oh, may this psalm be true of us, each one of us, so that when we do stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will do so with joy and not with fear, with confidence and not with terror. Lord, turn our hearts to you even as we sing together. And Lord, we pray that you'll not withhold good from us. You've given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And now with him, you will freely give us all things. We align ourselves. Meet us. Satisfy our yearning. Bring us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.